Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo's savings options. Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Member FDIC.
I've talked about POV before, but I'm going to do a deeper dive because I came up with a couple of things today and I think it needs to be talked about. I Should Be Writing, episode 63, season 18. Hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. Been doing this since 2005. I've been writing professionally since 2011. Published in 2013. Takes a while. Traditional publishing, you know. And so I've been doing this for quite some time. Decided to start opening the show with my credentials because there's so many people out there who don't. And lately I've been not a lot new. I'm trying to mess around with a couple of projects that I've been kind of scared to start. So I got some proposals written. I got some brainstorming done. I need to get a look at my solo RPG that I did the rough draft of last week. And I need to start planning out NaNoWriMo, because it is October 20th when I'm recording this. It's coming soon. I feel like I have all this prep stuff for NaNoWriMo as I get closer to the date and I try to cover it in the podcast and everything. And then I look at what other people have done for prep and it just boggles my mind. There's just so much out there, from lists of word count tools to word processors to things you need to keep in mind, like social stuff and freezer foods and changing your sleep schedule and all that. You will hear from me a lot this month, and this is October. I'm speaking mostly to people who are listening to this on the podcast because I'm doing a daily podcast from now until November 30th, if I can. Because I'm trying to get in shape for doing a daily NaNoWriMo podcast. But also, I'm hoping to get some people interested in the Daily NaNoWriMo podcast to go to the Patreon, where you can support at $1 for the next 2 weeks. Well, until November 1st, rather. And then you can get the daily podcast, because the daily show is going to stop on the feed on October 31st. I don't have any more news, I don't think. The dog basically got to basically got to go to camp today. Since we wanted to see somebody as soon as she injured herself, we saw a vet we hadn't seen before. Same vet practice, but not her usual vet. And it was too late to sedate her to take the proper x-rays, so we made plans for her to go get her x-rays today. And when you sedate the dog, you just basically drop the dog off first thing, and then they get to that procedure when they can. My dog is a big favorite at the vet. They love her. She's got a lot of personality. And after a couple hours, the phone rang, and I expected to hear from the doctor and hear what was going on with her. And she's like, yeah, I haven't sedated her yet. And she pointed out that because of the other procedure my dog went through recently, we've already paid for, like, the big whole surgery package thing, which includes, like, the follow-up visits and the follow-up x-rays. And she's like, you have x-rays coming up that you've already paid for that she's going to need to be sedated for. So we can't do anything for this leg right now anyway. So why not just wait and not sedate her? And I'm like, that makes sense. Because the surgeon's not going to operate on the injured leg until the other leg is strong enough. So, even if she took the films today and we got an answer, or if she didn't take the films today and we didn't get an answer, tomorrow is still going to be the same, and the next several weeks are still going to be exactly the same. So, essentially, the dog got to go to the vet and sit there and be loved on by anybody who had a moment to fuss over her. For several hours. And then I forgot that they closed during midday on Thursday, so I wasn't able to pick her up when I went out. So she has just basically had, like, a free trip to the vet with no poking or prodding and gotten attention all day. So she just got, like, trip to camp. So, lucky dog. And that's really all my news. She's doing better. Because it has to, the other leg is getting stronger because she's forced to use it now. And I think we'll get through the next several weeks when we have to. But I'm feeling more positive about it than I was earlier this week. And if you're just joining us, that's right, I'm very sorry to you listening on the podcast. I did an unofficial sort of BarCon episode for the Patreon people on Tuesday that I'm not putting in the I Should Be Writing feed. And it was just mainly just sitting around and chatting. But I talked a bit about the dog. My dog had knee surgery last month. And then this week we're pretty sure she tore her other knee. So she's not walking well at all. And it's been very stressful. Sorry about that, reverse story I just told you. But that's my news / good news. How are you guys? Tell me how you're doing. If you got any good news, let me know in the chat. And if you got any good news and you want to tell me elsewhere, send me an email, mightymer@gmail.com. Daniel has a rejection to add to the counter. Congratulations. Where's that button? There we go. Awesome. Congratulations, Daniel. 3 new rejections from Star-Eyed Green. Congratulations. Wow. Can't keep up, y'all. 3 from Star-Eyed Green. And, 4 for Underpope. I can't press the button too fast or else it'll get confused. Okay, I think that's everybody. Christian writing 2 new rejections. Congratulations. Fantastic. All right, you guys are amazing. So I hit yay button one more time. And remember, guys, if you're new or listening to this for the first time later, we celebrate rejections here because rejections mean you're a working writer. And we know they suck. And so we try to look at the bright side, which means there are people out there who are too scared to submit. And you are one step closer to your writing career than they are because you're willing to do so. So go Team Rejection. We are at 346 for the year now. That is, and if you are listening later, there are people who do write in and tell us their rejection numbers. So if you want to participate, you are welcome to. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know how to fix that Nightbot problem because there is a command and I don't know what else to do. Anyway, So, again, if you have any good news, and if you have good news like, you know, sales and awards and stuff, of course I want to hear them. The thing I found out today, the terrible, terrible thing, I emailed Preemie about this. Preemie and I are on the same fountain pen mailing list, and we're both gluttons, and we both look at these. One of them was literally $14,000, a $14,000 fountain pen. I'm not kidding. So, but sometimes they advertise things that are actually affordable too. And today, there is an Inkmas calendar. They will put fountain pen samples, 15 milliliter bottles, and 1 through 24, and then a 30 milliliter bottle for 25. The thing is, I am such a glutton for advent calendars. I love the little dopamine hit. I actually decided not to do the Star Wars Lego one this year because it feels like they usually only have a couple of actual minifigs, and then they got a bunch of cheap, well, it's Lego, but a lot of little ships and set dressings, essentially. Which is not as fun since I don't actually play with them. And it looks like I've done these before. So I chose not to do it, and I felt very proud of myself. And I did get a rum advent calendar that's coming. Be here sometime. And then, but yeah, I Adagio Teas has a tea advent calendar, which I like, but I'm very picky about my teas, and a lot of people really like, I can't take too much caffeine, and I hate things that are overly fruity, except for citrus. Citrus is great. Citrus in tea is great. But when they start putting mango and blueberry, and I don't want that. So, like, I've gotten a couple of these grab bags, mystery tea things, and I'm always disappointed. So I'm not doing that. So I was, like, proud of myself. I'm having, I'm having discipline. I think the dog just got home, and I am actually going to use the BRB channel to go check on them. I'll be back.
But I should be riding, I should be working on my craft.
I haven't even started talking about POV yet. Alright. I'm gonna say I am very interested in the advent calendar for NaNoWriMo. Please tell me more, kids are asleep. I'm just mortified. Yeah, and the website with the advent calendar for the ink is Inkvent. No, it's called Inkvent. It is Goulet, Goulet. All right. Okay. So, Kids Are Asleep says, someone bought a bunch of little presents, hid them in an identical boxes, mixed them up, dated them. So, advent calendar. Every day they open a box. Yeah, I think the Inkvent thing might be the perfect NaNoWriMo thing and just, I mean, who knows, just buy 5 more presents on the pen site for NaNoWriMo. Why not? All right. A little bit of a headache. Okay. So, about POV. Here's the deal. I'm going to be very careful here because I'm going to be saying negative things. And I'm saying negative things about books I like or negative things about authors' books. Books from authors I like, personally and or professionally. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but something hit me today about point of view that was just kind of mind-blowing. And I'm going to be careful talking about how it came to be, because, again, I don't want to say anything bad about anybody else's work. Because this is a very subtle thing. And honestly, I'm just exploring this now because I don't know if this is something that you can do when you're... that you can do consciously. This feels like something that has to come either organically or on edit. There is something that we usually consider a negative. Prejudice is a big one, of course. Yes, that's always a negative. But also things like acknowledgement of privilege. This is not about, like, all about privilege, but it's like, privilege is Goldilocks. Privilege is sitting in a chair and having it fit you, and you don't think this won't fit a lot of other people. You just think, oh, this feels good. Okay, cool. And you don't think, I mean, people are trying to consciously do so now, but your first thought is never, like, I'm special. Society sees me as special because my butt fits in this chair. And nobody wants to, like, think that they're all fancy and special just because they fit in a chair. They just don't think about people who don't fit in a chair. So, it's when it comes to bigotry, people don't sit around and think. Some do, I'm sure, but most people don't sit around and think, that group that's not like me, they're bad. It's a, you know, you don't think, you never think to put women in positions of power when you're writing. You never think to put black people in your books. You don't think to put a gay marriage in your books. It's little things like that. And this is like the systemic kind of bigotry that society has. Bigotry is not going to an author and going, you should not put women CEOs in your book because that's unrealistic. No one says that outright. You know, they're going to say, oh, I didn't buy her as a CEO, blah, blah, blah. They'll come up with other reasons. You know, like once the law said you have to let... marginalized people into various establishments, it was still hard to get in just for other reasons. Don't have the right education, someone else was more qualified, all of that. So, I have read books where the misogyny is, girls can't be in this, this challenge. You know, girls don't play sports or whatever. And it was so blatant. I didn't get a sense of systemic sexism. I got people kept saying over and over again, you can't do that, you're a girl. And I'm like, this feels like it's hitting me over the head and it doesn't need to. And I recently read something where somebody of great privilege was... going about complaining about something, being very aware that she almost never asked for the manager or she almost never used her privilege like this. And it was brought up so many times, I'm thinking, privileged people don't think about that. That's not how it happens. And so when you have somebody who's either experiencing... it on the giving side or experiencing it on the receiving side, there's more of an awareness around about the world around you and how either your place or your view of certain people fits in. So if you're like very high in society, it's very unlikely you're going to think about how you look to other people. You don't care. And if someone calls you out on it, they're going to be wrong. I mean, there's going to be exceptions to every rule, but really, if you need to put a sort of systemic prejudice in your books of anything, think about how it affects society at large, and not necessarily someone can't do X because they say you can't do X. And I'm not even sure if this is point of view anymore. It was point of view because I was listening to a book where someone had a lot of privilege but thought about it a lot as they were being kind of a jerk. And I just didn't buy it. And it was frustrating for me because I was enjoying the story, but this one little spot of it was just like, I don't buy it. So I'm going to check on chat. I think about that guy who complained about the Witcher TV show because they had women fighting with swords when he claimed that was impossible. Wow. Yes, there are going to be people who do want to hit you over the head with things. Literally and figuratively, unfortunately. But I'm saying overall, you know, like, when I was a kid, well, you know, I could drive. My father was in charge of delivering the newspaper to various businesses. So, you know, you see the business with the newspapers out front in the boxes in olden days. Well, someone had to drive around in the early morning and deliver those. And during the summer, I would help him out with that. And when I could drive, I would take some of his bit and take care of it myself. And I never got, girls can't lift heavy things. I got a lot of men offering to help me lift the heavy stacks of newspaper and me saying no and them being outright astonished when I could. I mean, yeah, it was heavy, but it wasn't that heavy. I was not a big kid. But that's the kind of systemic sexism you get, which is like, come on, little lady, let me help you with those papers. Oh, wow, you really can carry them. Wow. And I just want to say that I'm trying to acknowledge my own privilege here and that I'm a white lady, and I know there are many people who have experienced prejudice much more blatantly and much worse. But I'm saying sometimes in fiction it stands out as a shortcut. You know, I'm not going to put all of the feelings of this kind of prejudice into my story. I'm just going to have people outright say X can't happen. I was led to understand women are allergic to swords. Well, you know what? Sometimes we just take a Benadryl and keep going till we fall asleep. Scott Lynch got grief because he had a black woman as a pirate captain in his fantasy setting. He was told it was unrealistic. Yeah. If you had a woman with a sword, her arm will fall off like a Lego minifig's hand. Yes. I have to take my allergy meds daily because of my sword. Yes, kids are asleep. My allergies haven't been so bad since I hung my sword on the wall. But again, I feel awkward saying it because I'm still not sure I'm hitting it all right, but this was like an epiphany of, I am not liking this scene and I don't know why. It was like I've brought this up so many times, but it's because it really just bowled me over the mastery of it. But in the Connie Willis, just like the ones we used to know, there's a vignette where a woman's in love with one guy and there's another guy hitting on her. The guy hitting on her never gets a name. And this is not Connie Willis being sloppy, because she's got several other vignettes in that novella and everybody has a name. But the viola player doesn't have a name, and that's because in the point of view character's eyes, he doesn't matter. She's so obsessed with the groom in the scenario that this viola player just doesn't matter. And I think about that when... And granted, it was subtle, and it took me a while to figure it out. But it never felt wrong. So, if you have prejudice in your stories, think about how it affects the world at large. Instead of saying, this person can't do X, think about what else they would say. I mean, like I said, they've kept women and people of color and queer people and disabled people out of a lot of things, even after the law said they had to let us in. For other reasons. So, I mean, all that sucks a lot, so we might as well get something good out of it, like stronger storytelling. Preemie says, yeah, I find it easier to put the prejudice, etc. into the world building, implied or implicit, rather than explicit. Yeah. Also, it was just, like, really annoying of constant repetition of this thing that I just didn't buy. I didn't buy people saying that outright. Kids Are Asleep says, POV means filtering fabricated reality through the character's perceptions and worldview, not making that reality nonsensical. Guys, you need to be reading Valerie Valdez and Preemie Muhammad. Just, they're saying much smarter than I, some much smarter things than I'm saying. So please, you know, give the Kids Are Asleep a follow on Twitch and check out both of their books. I have both of them back here. I got Valerie's series right here, and Preemie's are up here. Preemie's are under Matt's books, so there might be damage if I remove them at the moment. But trust me, they're there. The Complainer to Scott Lynch said the real pirates were viscous rapists, and yes, with that misspelling. All right. Oh, Preemie had a follow-up. The implicit rather than explicit. Oh, look, they happen not to have a school for girls. Yeah. Mine should be on top of Matt's book. I'm sorry, Preemie. I'm sorry. Just to prove I'm not lying. All right. See. Got Preemie's books. And they're going on top of Matt's. Ha ha ha, Matt. Sucker. Because I am so large and mighty and Matt is so tiny and wee and small. Yes. Christian Writing says, my philosophy with prejudice in my stories is I can write about discrimination based on gender, sexuality, class, and ability because I experience those things. But I'm not, as a white person, going to write a world in which people are targeted for their race, even if the racists are unquestionably bad people in the story, because I don't experience that kind of discrimination and don't want readers of color feeling like my writing isn't safe for them to read. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's good to be aware of your experiences versus other people's experiences, especially when you're going for more charged storytelling. Yeah, I feel like I failed in calling it a POV thing. It was because it was the POV of the person, but it can be a much larger situation, and it's really hard to identify. I actually tried to do the Connie Willis trick in a script I was writing, where a guy, he's openly bisexual, but he's not, he hasn't admitted his love for a certain guy, and he's talking about when his girlfriend and his best friend hooked up and she dumped him. And he never names her, but he talks about his best friend by name frequently. And that was interesting. In my head, that made her further away and less important to the story. And I found that fascinating. Maybe it's more perspective than POV. I see. Sometimes subtlety works and sometimes people miss it. See Fight Club. Oh my God. I know. I mean, see, it's really like any story that shows people experiencing extreme excess. And even if the story then goes to show that that's bad, people still are in love with the idea of the excess. So, see Fight Club. And then see Gatsby. People throwing Gatsby parties. Do you know what happened at the end of Gatsby? You know, Gatsby, not a happy fellow. Not a successful fellow at the end of the day. So, I think people just love excess and they love the idea. You know, they want to watch the movie about the person eating all the cake, but they don't want to watch the climactic part where they throw it all up. Christian writing, I told my husband I could put a queer ship in anything, and he goes, well, it's impossible to make Fight Club gay. Oh, honey. Oh my God. Yeah, and after you can't make Fight Club gay, go not make Top Gun gay. Mask of the Red Death parties, I think that was my first Poe that I really fell in love with. I don't think I really understood what was going on. You can show systemic prejudice through the insecurities of the POV character. I'm an obese man and I don't like to eat around people who aren't also eating because of years of being teased for eating in high school. Ew, that's a very good point. Also, I'm sorry, Daniel. I had a situation where the male presenting editor dinged me for the female lead's mental reactions in a sexist situation. I don't understand why she's thinking that. It doesn't seem realistic. Every single time. The female presenting editors, not one word. Yeah. And this was coming from a man with two moms. Oh, Christian writing, that's awesome. I laughed so hard, then made him rewatch the movie. Or not make the Fast and the Furious gay. I've not seen the Fast and the Furious. Actually, I haven't seen Top Gun either, but I do know Sarah Gailey's take on it, and that was so much fun to read. I remember an ad that used the I Want It Now song from Willy Wonka, and just, did you miss the point of that song and character? Yeah. Oh, there was another thing that used, oh, the You'll Bring Honor to Us All Mulan doll. Remember the doll where you wet her face and she gets the makeup? Not even thinking about what that song meant. I once said a sexist bad guy in a story was over the top because fiction should be more subtle than reality, and to this day I regret that note. These days, I think most fiction's more subtle than reality in a lot of places. Good to see you, Fire Rider. Thanks for dropping in. Pro-war politicians using Fortunate Son. Yeah. We went to a Pink Floyd cover concert or light show or something. And there were videos, you know, montages and clips and stuff to indicate parts of the songs. And there were some Trump supporters there enjoying the songs, and they would cheer every time their hero came up on the screen. And I'm like, are you listening to the words in these songs? Do you know why he's appearing? I don't know. But anyway, a lot of bad things are subtle. Often that's how they get really bad, because we don't notice. That's the thing about privilege, is that people who are privileged, they don't know they're privileged. So when you tell them they're privileged, they don't think, well, I'm not being treated any better. It's not like they think my life is not luxury. They don't think about what their life would be like without the privilege. Status quo is not luxury. Status quo is not special. So that's why it's really hard to tell people about privilege, because they think that their status quo can't be the best in the world because they have problems too, which can be legit. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, who's going to be followed when you go into stores? Who's going to be assumed to be the best sports person in the room? Either knowledge or performance. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. The you don't have to say it. You can show it. Oh, I guess the whole message is show, don't tell. Wah, wah. I guess. Okay. I'm going to shut this down for the regular show. We're going to hang out and talk a little bit more via BarCon. But, yeah. It is several days to NaNoWriMo. We're getting there. It's like 11 days now. I'll be doing a daily show, so the numbering of this might be difficult because summer usually takes a couple of days to get to the big episodes, while I'll be doing the smaller episodes daily. So I probably shouldn't have done a daily show today, but I wanted to get in the habit of doing one. I need to figure out my November and how I'm going to structure everything out, because even though I'm doing a daily show, I don't want to stop doing these larger shows. Because I know there are people out there who aren't going to be doing NaNoWriMo and probably want to stay away from it. On the other hand, if I'm doing a daily show and NaNoWriMo, I'm not sure what else I'm going to be able to talk about. But we'll see. Yeah, you can see me and my stuff at merverse.com. MightyMur@gmail.com is how to get in touch with me. And on the Twitters, I'm MightyMur. On the TikToks, when I have the courage to post, I'm MightyMur. And Twitch.tv/MightyMur if you want to catch the next live show. Because I keep missing my Wednesday gaming shows, I'm going to put that on hiatus for November and see what I can do with my Twitch schedule when NaNoWriMo's over. And I think that's all. Station Eternity is out. You can pick that up at your favorite bookstore or other people's favorite bookstores. You can pick it up online, ebook, audiobook, many places. People seem to like it. I'm pretty proud of it. Station Eternity by Mer Lafferty. I'll see you tomorrow as I do another daily show. I don't know what it's going to be about. I'll figure something. But y'all take care, and you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at Merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support.
Doctor Who.
Hello, Saver. Whether you're saving for that trip to the tropics or saving for an emergency, now is the time to take advantage of Wells Fargo's savings options. Wells Fargo offers savings accounts that can help you save towards your goals. So, what are you saving for? Visit a Wells Fargo branch or wellsfargo.com/save to open a savings account today.
Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.